of human history. Over the years, people have been moving to different places. Brazil is a typical example of that. The migration to Brazil has happened in different waves along the centuries. What we have seen in these last years, many people coming from the Middle East, from Asia, from some parts of Africa. And of course, these last years, and especially maybe in the last month, a lot from Syria, Iraq, but also from other places where there has been conflicts, there are wars, but also different kind of catastrophes and so on. Currently, we have in Brazil a big number of diaspora groups. We have the largest Lebanese group in Brazil. There are more Lebanese living in Brazil than in Lebanon itself. Also, many have come now from Haiti because of the problems there. The situation now in Syria and Iraq has brought many also from there. The Brazilian government has opened up for receiving those refugees and migrants. And the churches are responding slowly to that as well, being part of that receiving of people from outside. Brazil has been sending people to many different places. So people have moved from Brazil to many different places in the world as well. Maybe more to other Latin American countries, to the United States, to Canada, but also to Southern Europe. And today we find a group of Brazilians either working through companies or just moving back to countries where their ancestors came from, like Japan, or even in the Middle East or in Africa, in many ways. We see a big potential in these diaspora groups of Brazilians in different places, also in terms of mission, of course. Many of them are committed Christians. Maybe they are not officially sent as missionaries, but where they come, they will share the faith and churches are being planted. And maybe as a parenthesis, I think we need to be very humble as mission leaders because probably more lay people are planting churches than professional missionaries in many places of the world. So that's it. I see an interesting trend internationally, because we have many from Asia, Filipinos, and others moving to other places, and some with a very clear strategy of being able to share their faith and their experience with God. I think we need to be, both as mission organizations, as churches, denominations, aware of that. Both taking advantage, so to say, of many of our people that are moving around and moving to places where maybe the Christian witness is not strong, but also the fact that many are coming to us, even from countries where it could be difficult to get into, but they are coming to us now. Living in Europe for some time, some years back, I saw many of these groups coming to countries like Sweden, where I was staying, and gave us an opportunity as a church to help them to integrate and so on, with a, of course, an holistic view of the gospel and also, of course, sharing the word of God with them.
Yeah. Tell about your own family and your journey. I know your parents moved to Brazil, your grandparents, and how large is the Swedish community in Brazil? What made your ancestors look beyond Europe and land up in Latin America?
Yeah, many Swedes left Sweden as Norwegians, Danish, and others, especially during the 19th century, It was very poor in the northern part of Europe. Countries like United States, Canada, Australia, Brazil, Argentina, they invited people to come to colonize, to take care of the land and so on, even in terms of production factories and so on. So there was a number of Swedes that went also to Brazil and to Argentina in the region we call the Mission region. So it's close to the border to Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and a lot of communities started there. We don't have Swedish groups, I would say, or communities today, but of course there are many descendants today, very mixed with other groups and so on, and maybe even from the beginning there were many Germans and Russians and others like that. My parents come to Brazil as missionaries from Sweden. So I was 4 years old when we moved to Brazil, and I was raised in Brazil, and that has become my home country.
You recently helped edit a book, Church and Mission, which is part of the Evangelical Alliance Mission Commission's Globalization Series. What prompted you? Would you give you a synopsis of what the book is all about, what the major thrust is, and what you are trying to communicate, mission and church, missional ecclesiology?
Yeah, it's a book written by many authors from different countries, different backgrounds, both ecclesiastical and also cultural backgrounds. So it's, I would say, a mix of experiences from different parts of the world. We have a part that is more of the biblical basis, the theological basis for church and mission, and I would even say gospel, church and mission, the three things there. Also a part that discusses more missiological issues related to that, and case studies. Also about the term we are using, or mission or churches, churches involved in their neighborhood and so on. I think that the main thing with this book and that made me work on it was to see the integration between church and mission, I think we have divided too much, and we have looked at mission as a parallel structure just to the church. But I think the basis is the church, the local church, and it's out of that. It's the church that is sent into God's mission. And that's one of the emphases we want to give with the book. The dichotomy between the church structure, the local and the parachurch, I think, is very bad, and it hasn't helped us
at all.
That's right. So I think that's the main thing we are trying to say with the book, and keep it together. We need the missionary work needs to look at the church and be really part of it, but also the church needs to be, that's the reason for the existence of the church, to be part of God's mission.
Work in the world.
That's right.
Whether it's recent humanitarian crisis, the greatest humanitarian crisis we call refugee movement to Europe, all the way to Sweden and elsewhere.
That's right.
We're also seeing a record number of student migration to economic labor migrations. So God is unscrambling nations. So what are your insight in the current condition of unprecedented amount of people are mobile, locally within China, within the US, within Europe and Africa? People are moving unlike anything that we have seen in human history. How do we see gospel, the church, and what God is doing in the world?
Yeah, I think firstly, I think it is something that God is behind somehow, this move around the globe. I think one of the characteristics even of the God's people has been moving and going to new places, other places and so on. So I think God is helping us to move around in that sense. giving us opportunities that we have never had before to reach people that come to us, but also our possibility to go to them. I think it challenges the local churches, the traditional churches, many of our denominations, our church structures, mission structures, because we have not been maybe used to that. We have not thought of that in our strategy. We have thought of we prepare people to go to a specific place, and that's a very maybe specific particular culture and so on. Today is this mess, so to say, is the mixed, and I think that creates a new situation for us. So we need to prepare people for that. We need to be much more flexible than we have been before, and understand that God is using this time to advance His kingdom in different places. I think the especially the younger generation that was raised with this possibility of traveling and connecting, they don't think on boundaries, limitations in the way we have done before. They are somehow, they work internationally, globally, and they don't look at all these boundaries that we have set up maybe in history. Yeah, and I think especially when we look at the younger generation, I mean, they don't have these limitations and boundaries that maybe even my generation had, they can see, this possibility of connecting over the cultural, the language barriers and so on, and of course technology has helped a lot in that. So I think there are great opportunities today, and of course we need, even as mission leaders, church leaders, to connect with this younger generation and include them in our thinking about how mission should be done in our days.
Thank you very much for your time and your insight. I do want to recognize your service to the Missions Commission and Evangelical Alliance over the last many years, and your amazing, inspiring leadership. I do want to place on record and thank you for your time and insight and sharing about migration and diaspora. God bless. Thank you, Berto.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for
You cut it in.
Yeah.